You get into a situation, and by the way, we may not go into the synagogues, but we will be in magistrates and powers. Over in Burma, sooner or later, you have to deal with the authorities. We do in New Guinea and different places, synagogues, magistrates and powers. When you get under stress, when you get under something that's intent, here's what he says, take ye no thought how or what ye shall answer or what ye shall say. Here's what that means to me. Don't be human. I'll say it again. Sometimes when you get in real intense situation, guys, what we don't want to be is human. Help me not to respond like a human. Are you still with me? Take ye no thought of what. How many times have we chewed on something the night before that we were going to do the next day with somebody, and when we got ready to do it, God said, no. Don't do it that way. Take ye no thought. Verse 12, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what ye ought to say. Have you ever been counseling somebody and you said something and you stopped and said, wait a minute, I need to write that down? I'll say that again. Have you ever been talking with somebody or been preaching and something comes out of your mouth and you go, wait a minute, I got to write that down. That was good. Okay, that wasn't you. That was the Holy Ghost. Come on, is that right? So we know God can do that. Take ye no thought in that intense time. So here's the perfect illustration, but I want to go in the Old Testament with you. The perfect illustration of this to understand it would be when Paul was released from his bonds just for a moment and got to address the crowd, and he realized that part was Sadducee and part was Pharisee. And he said, oh, well, I'm a Pharisee of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I'm called. Knowing that the Sadducees and the Pharisees disagreed on that. And all of a sudden, the focus wasn't on him anymore. It was on the doctrinal conflict again, because men are that way. Come on, is that right? Even Baptists can get that way. The idea is, in that hour, God gave him something to throw the onus off of him. Now, I want to show you something, if you would, in the way of in that hour, that the Holy Ghost will give us something. Look at 2 Samuel. And let's go through something real quick. 2 Samuel. And you know these stories, but let's talk about them with this in mind. 2 Samuel, let's talk about, let's go to 2 Samuel 15, and would you pick up Psalms 55? 2 Samuel 15 and Psalms 55. And you as a missionary, you as a pastor, you as a leader, sooner or later we're going to get into something like this in some way, shape, or form. So you're in 2 Samuel 15, and you're in Psalms 55. And David's under intense pressure. You missionaries, who's one of your favorite New Testament characters as far as a missionary? Paul, is that right? You know what Paul said? He was always in continual heaviness and sorrow. That's right. So don't be surprised when you have more heaviness and sorrow and that you carry that. It's part of it. Like, I want to be joyful all the time. Sorry. Now, I'm not saying we walk around down the dumps all the time.
That's right.
But even when you're out fellowshipping with your wife and having a good time, in the back of your mind is that sorrow and heaviness.
Yep.
And you don't have to tell her what it is.
That's right.
Not all the time. Come on.
That's right.
So, he's in continual heaviness and sorrow. Do you know David was also? David was in continual heaviness. I think Brother Tom Williams, in the burden that he bears in prayer, is probably in continual heaviness and sorrow. Because you know what he hears a lot of prayer requests about?
Yeah.
Heaviness, sorrow, grief, and trouble. Please pray, Tom, I'm in trouble. Well, tell me what it is so I can understand. So he bears that. But he didn't bear that when he was 20. And he didn't bear that when he was 30. That ministry came upon him a little bit later in life. Was he praying then? Sure. Sure he is praying then. But the influence, with influence comes responsibility. And it's usually heaviness and sorrow. Come on, is that all right? I'm just going to stop here because some of you have it now. So I want to show you something about heaviness and sorrow. Look at chapter 15, verse 30. David, verse 30, David went up the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up, had his head covered. Culturally, the covering of the head was grief. And he went barefoot. And all the people that were with him, they were covered. They were all grieved. And they went up weeping as they went. This is when Absalom and Ahithophel has decided to try to take over the kingdom. Come on, is that right? Hold your place there and look at Psalms 55. And you all know this probably. Psalms 55 gives us the details of what he's doing when he walks up. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Verse 12 of Psalms 55. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. He's talking about Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's counselor, is that right?
That's right.
You know, it's the toughest thing is when somebody that you love and care, that you used to work alongside of, took sweet company together, is when they turn on you.
Yeah.
Betrayal is the worst. You can't be betrayed without first loving them. Judas was a betrayer, is that right? But Jesus loved him. He was chosen. And you'll be betrayed one of these days if you haven't yet. It's part of the ministry. David's betrayed by Ahithophel. Ahithophel is the brains behind Absalom's takeover. Why? Ahithophel is the one who said to Absalom, take your concubines up there and set up a tent and violate David in front of everybody. Right? Absalom was bitter about David because of Tamar. Are you still with me? Ahithophel was bitter about David because of Bathsheba. Everybody still with me on that? Bitterness always finds bitterness. Did I lose anybody yet? Absalom with his sister Tamar, Ahithophel with his granddaughter Bathsheba. They were both bitter at David. Now, God's going to allow this to happen for a reason. Well, how was David feeling when he was walking up the mount? You say he was weeping, he was barefoot, he was covered. Look at Psalms 55, look at verse 4. Here's what he's thinking. My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness, this is what's going on in his mind. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. He's got a shaken mind. Would you agree with that? Oh, I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. You know what he's saying? I want out. Most of us have felt, sooner or later, we want out of the ministry.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. Yep.
He's saying, oh, that I had wings of a dove. Verse 7, lo, then I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Fly away, wander far off. He wants out. He wants to run. Why? Well, have you ever had this happen? Verse 21. Look at verse 21. Have you ever had somebody that you thought was your friend? The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Did you ever have somebody to you? It's just butter. It's oil. But behind your back, it's swords. It's war. Still with me? Tough stuff. So David's walking up the hill weeping and barefooting. And while he's walking up the hill, chapter 15 again, verse 30, while he's walking up, somebody tells him, Ahithophel is among the conspirators. And God, if you would, David says, oh, I pray that I turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And when he got to the top of the mount, who was there waiting for him? His friend. It's always good to have a friend at the top, isn't it? I'm talking about right in the middle of turmoil, Hushai is there meeting him. And they're going to worship God together, but David's going to ask Hushai to put feet to his prayers. David prayed, turned the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Then he tells Hushai, go back in the city and defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Come on, you still with me? Did you follow through? And Hushai is going to go in and do that. Well, by the time he gets to the top of the hill and he sends Hushai off, who's there to meet him in chapter 16? But Ziba. You know who Ziba is? Ziba is of the house of Saul. And Ziba is the one that David had appointed over Mephibosheth. Remember the son to Jonathan? Well, Ziba's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Because Ziba's going to slander Mephibosheth, right? Talk to me a little bit. So David's already down. Absalom and Ahithophel's against him. And Ziba shows up and takes advantage. And says, well, here's what Mephibosheth said. Wasn't true at all. David made a hasty decision. Next guy that shows up, stay with me. Have you ever had one of those days where you go, man, I'm already down, and then this happened, then this guy, and then this one, and then this one. Come on, are you still with me? Well, in that hour, we need not to be human. In that hour, take no thought. Please don't let me be human. Because when we're heavy, sorrow, in turmoil, we don't make good decisions. David said to Ziba, well, you get it all now. He later had to reverse that partially when he found out he had been had. Come on, is that right? Do you understand what I'm saying? He'd been had? Ziba slandered. David made a hasty decision. I'm not down on David. I'm just saying, when we're in turmoil, it's a time not to make a decision. And then who shows up? Verse 5, stay with me. Shimei shows up. But I want to take you on a journey with Shimei just for a moment. Because Shimei is going to come out, and Shimei is going to be in a rage. Did you ever have somebody that just, I mean, you talk about synagogues, magistrates, and powers. Did you ever have the intensity of somebody coming at you with a kind of rage? Verbally? Or in print? Or in slander? Behind your back. And they were driven. Shimei is driven. He doesn't care about his life. David's walking on this side of the hill, and the scriptures say that Shimei is over there, and he's casting stones at him and cursing him and claiming that David's responsible for the blood of Saul. Come on, is that right? But I want you to see something. Hold your place right there. Look a couple chapters over so you make sure you know who Shimei is. Look at, if you would, look at chapter number 19. Chapter number 19. And notice what it says in verse 16. Verse 16. Shimei is coming back now to apologize. Shimei, the son of Gerai, a Benjamite. David's coming back over the Jordan. And notice about Shimei, verse 17. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. Listen to me. Shimei is not a small player. When he comes to meet him, he's got 1,000 Benjamites with him. He's a leader. When leaders get against leaders, pastors against pastors, missionaries against missionaries, prominent member of the church against pastor, prominent wife of a deacon against pastor. Come on, you still with me or not? They don't have to have money to have influence. It could be longevity. So Shimei is a captain of at least 1,000 Benjamites. Remember what tribe Saul was from. He was a Benjamite. Ziba is the house of Saul. Shimei is a Benjamite. So what do you think Shimei has been told all his life about David? Did you ever have somebody pre-prejudiced against you? You say, why did Shimei think that? Because he was a Benjamite and he was already affected by Saul, directly or indirectly. We don't know how old Shimei is, but directly or indirectly, he's been affected by Saul. And what has Saul said about David? Look back in 1 Samuel, stay with me. Look back at 1 Samuel. I'm not taking Shimei's side. I'm just saying sometimes we got to see what's behind the voice. Why do they feel the way they feel? And I want to ask you if you would, let me get 1 Samuel. My pages stick together. Look at chapter 22. Chapter 22. Shimei's in a rage about something. Look at 1 Samuel 22. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. Then Saul said unto his servants that stood about him. 1 Samuel 22, verse 7. Hear now ye, say it, Benjamites. Will the son of Jesse, David, give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you captains and thousands and hundreds? You know what Saul is saying? you owe me. Now look, Saul's, the Spirit of God's already gone. But pastors, we're supposed to be debtors. The church owes us nothing. Maybe a little honor and respect, but we don't think about that. We think about that we're their debtors. We owe them. They don't owe us. Missionary, they don't owe you. You owe them. Yeah, but they owe me this. Careful, that's not your side. Stay on your side. When I was a member of our church, I owed the pastor respect. But when I became pastor, they owe me nothing. Come on, you still with me or not? In the military, they owe you honor. As a pastor, on your side, they owe you nothing. You worry about what you owe them. As a missionary, as an evangelist, they owe you nothing. It's your privilege to serve them. Now, should we teach them about honoring? Yes, I get that. But don't expect it. I know a guy on his 10th anniversary, and they gave him a crock pot. And he was mad because another guy on the 10th anniversary, he got a new car. This is a true story. This guy that got the crock pot called his friend up and said, you know what they gave me on their 10th anniversary? A crock pot. Oh, and they talked about this thing. The guy that got the crock pot called me. I didn't even know him, but he was from a prominent place where they did big honors to the pastor. And so when he didn't get it, he was ticked off and his wife was hurt like they were victims. So this guy calls me and says, Brother Fisher, I said, hi, how you doing? He said, well, you don't know me real well. I talked to you a couple times. Yeah, I remember kind of who you are. He said, I got a problem. What? Well, my 10th anniversary, they gave me a crock pot. He said, what do you think about that? I said, you don't even deserve that. I said, it's not because of your performance. But they don't owe you anything. And my wife saw a hurt and I said, put her on the phone. She got on the phone. I said, sister, I know you're hurt because you feel like they shamed your husband, but he's a debtor. You guys got to get the right mindset or you're going to get hurt a lot. I said, you're a debtor. If you get respect, that's a blessing. That's a bonus. Stop worrying about the crock pot. Go cook him something. And she was crying and she started laughing. I said, that's the spirit. Do you understand what I mean? They were poo-pooing each other as victims. Because what they had seen, and they compared. I said, sister, do you know what I got for my 10th? She said, no, Brother Fisher, what'd you get? I said, nothing. We didn't celebrate it. I said, you know what I got for my 15th? She said, no, Brother Fisher. I said, nothing. We didn't celebrate it. I said, you know what I got for my 20th? She said, nothing. I said, that's right. We weren't hurt because we didn't expect anything. Say, what kind of church is that? Our kind. At our 25th, they wanted to give us something. And the staff said, please, Pastor, for the people. I said, okay, for the people. But that's not what I'm pastoring for. Are you still with me or not? Big deal, 25 years. Big deal. That's human thinking. We're unprofitable servants. We did that which is our duty. Get off this thing. We're breeding each other to think if we don't get something on so many years like we're somebody. You're nobody. We're nobody. We've got the privilege to serve. I'm not trying to get off on that, but come on. That's human thinking. So David is facing Shimei. And notice Shimei, verse 7. So Saul said, look what I've done for you. Look what I've done for you. Did David give you all these fields? By the way, Saul didn't do that. God did. Come on, is that right? Verse 8, that all of you have conspired against me. You see Saul as a big victim, right? Because the Spirit of God is gone from him. Yes or no? Yeah. And there is none that showeth thee that my son, Jonathan, hath made a league with the son of Jesse, David. Look up here. David and Jesse had made a league, but not against Saul. You know what? You know what the league was? We'll be friends. Number two, if I die, you take care of my children. If you die, I'll take care of your children. And the last one was, David was in the woods and Jonathan showed up, strengthened him and said, you'll be king and I'll be next to you. But they weren't after Saul. Never entered their mind to kill Saul. That was in Saul's imagination. Come on, yes or no? Hey, pastor, they're not against you to go out and get you. They are, but they're not. You say, but they really are. I know they are, but God will protect. Well, you just never been in it. Oh, yes, I have. Had 140 people walk out the door one day. One Sunday. 140 Spanish people left. So I know what that feels like. You say, what happened? 35 stayed. And now that ministry is 800.
Praise the Lord.
Was it hurtful? Absolutely. I had to stand up and make some statements. That was one of the most difficult days of my life. But God, come on. Well, they made a league of son of Jesse. Verse 8, right in the middle. There's none of you that is sorry for me. Oh, now he's playing the sympathy card. That David's lying in wait. Please listen to me. Don't you think, Shimmy, I heard that mantra? You say, now wait a minute. We don't know if he was born. Don't you think it was passed through his family? That David was out to get Saul. Victims pass it on. Victims. There was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Listen to me. David did not make himself Saul's enemy. He tried to serve Saul. He tried to love Saul. But what do you think Shimei heard? Look up here. What do you think teenagers hear? They can be affected. That's why, pastors, we need to think before we do something about the teenagers in the church. We always need to have the teenagers in mind. How this is going to affect the teenagers. How they will view it. How they will view how the adults are treating each other. With teenagers in mind. We want teenagers to believe in God, but we want them to believe in church too. Teenagers leave church when adults don't handle things right. Now, I know teenagers can go through carnal. Come on. 18, 19, 20, 21. But some of them leave our Baptist churches because they're tired of the way adults are treating each other. We're being too human at times. Is it okay to say that? I mean, I've tried to, I'm going to do this. And the Holy Ghost said, no, you're not. No, you're not. I'm going to preach a message on you. No, you're not. Your spirit's not right. Stop. I'm not giving you that. Because we can have all these scriptures up here and twist them into what we want. And the Holy Ghost will say, don't do that. Stop. So Shimei is affected. Oh, let me give you one other thing. Stay with me. Look at, everybody still good? You say, why are you defending Shimei? I'm not. Look at chapter 29. Chapter 29. I'm saying there's a reason Shimei feels the way he does. Look at chapter 29. Now the Philistines, verse 1, stay with me. Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek in Israel, pitched by a fountain in Jezreel. Then the lords of the Philistines passed on by hundreds and thousands. But David and his men passed on in the rearward with Achish. Who's Achish? King of what? Gath. Philistine. Prominent Philistine city, Gath. You remember who and what happened at Gath? Come on, talk to me. And David's back there as Achish's guard. Please listen. I know David was going out and killing off Philistine cities. But Shimei didn't know that. I know David's heart was still with Israel, but Shimei didn't know that. Was Shimei there? I don't know. But don't you think, Shimei, heard that David's with the Philistines? You said, I've read the end of the book, but Shimei can only, what he saw, what he heard. Why are you saying that? Brethren, before we get angry at somebody, maybe we ought to look what's behind the scenes. What they've been taught. Who's influenced them? What do you mean? Before you get on somebody and attack them, find out why they feel the way they feel and trying to get in their mindset, and you'll forbear them longer. What do you mean? You're defending Shimei. No, I'm saying there's a long war and feud between the house of Saul and the house of David. And Shimei has heard all the stuff that Saul has put forth. David's lying in wait to ambush me. David and Jonathan are a conspiracy. David and Ahimelech, the priest, the city of Nob, they're in a conspiracy. Everybody's against me. Saul has only done to help me. And then David's down with the Philistines. And Shimei comes out and said, you're a bloody, bloody man. You say he was wrong. I know he was wrong, but what shaped his perspective? Come on, talk to me a little bit. What shaped the perspective of the person against you? Well, they're just wrong. I know, but what shaped it? You say, but Shimei, I know, he's a leader, an influencer, and he's got it all wrong. I know he's got it all wrong, but in his mind, he's right. And he's throwing rocks, and he doesn't even care whether they come over and kill him or not. He's in a rage. He's bitter. Come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. Almost cussed at him. The Lord has dealt with thee according to thy mischief and has given thy kingdom to Absalom. Come on, is that right? He believed what he was saying. He believed now David was losing his kingdom and he was happy about it. And in that hour, God gave something to David. Look at 2 Samuel 16. Everybody still all right with where I'm at or not? I mean, you'll have some of this. Verse 8, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul. Why? You marched with the Philistines, David. You joined the Philistines. Well, out he comes. Abishai, we all like Abishai, don't we? Verse number 9, Abishai, son of Zariah, David's sister, one of David's nephew. Why should we let this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over and take his head off. Hey, look up here. You remember what last words David said to Saul? Why are you out chasing a dead dog or a flea? See, a dead dog was like a not a very good, a humbling term. Let me put it that way. Like we're Gentile dogs. And David said, verse 11, to Abishai and all his servants, behold, my son, Absalom, verse 11, which came of my bowels seeketh my life, how much more may this Benjamite do it? And then he says this. Say the next three words with me. Say it. Say it again. Say it one more time. Maybe that's what God gave him. What? Let him alone. Sometimes the word the Holy Spirit will give you is to stay silent. Let me say it again. Pastor, missionary, well, I'm going to go and take care of this. Don't be human. Do I confront some things once in a while? Yes. Look at me. Yes, you have to confront things once in a while, and there's Bible for that. There's Bible for that. There's Bible for confronting something to make it right. But sometimes God will do the unusual and say, let it alone. What do you mean, let it alone? I want to take care of this. I'm telling you, let it alone right now. Stay silent. Well, that doesn't sound like pastoring to me. That's the best form of pastoring sometimes. Is to stay silent and go to your prayer closet and ask God to handle it. It takes more discipline to not call the angels down and stand as a lamb dumb before his slaughterers than to organize the deacons so teenagers hear. No, say deacons. Deacons have wives. And not every deacon is smart enough to keep his mouth shut. I'm not saying you don't confront it once in a while, but you better be careful. These are God's sheep. And David said, let him alone. Why? For the Lord hath bidden him. What? For the Lord hath bidden him. Look up here. He's just been walking up the hill, weeping and barefooting, thinking about quitting, thinking about running, not knowing if he gets back to Jerusalem again, trying to save Jerusalem from the personality fight that's going on between Ahithophel, Absalom, and David. Doesn't want Jerusalem to get involved with that. Come on. We've got to save our churches once in a while and not let them get involved in the fight. You still with me or not? My family doesn't need to know what I'm facing sometimes. That's my Jerusalem. Brother, your family doesn't need to know. Jerusalem doesn't need to be part of the battle. I'm raising 8 children. I don't want them to be mad at the church. Now we have grandchildren. I don't want them to be mad at the church. My children still go to our church. We got one across town as an associate pastor with one of the churches that was planted. Well, you say, how'd that go? We planted a church across town, and my son said, Dad, I'd like to go help him. I said, that sounds good to me. So he lived in my house for 2 years while I was helping plant the church, and we didn't talk about that church. Why? Because he has his own pastor. And I believe in chain of command and ethics. So he wasn't allowed to talk to me about stuff. Because I'd say, have you talked to your pastor yet? Come on, we have to believe in that stuff. Then he got married and moved out. Now that church is doing extremely well. We still have great fellowship. Everything's still good. They come over almost every week. They garden at my place. I got the land, so they do the gardening, and my wife watches the grandchildren. Come on, happy wife. We still okay? I don't want my children even now as adults will say, Dad, what happened in that situation 10 years ago? And I said, you don't need to know about it. Yeah, but we'd like to know. No, you don't really want to know. Because they're still friends with that guy's children. And I don't want them to going to talk to the other children and bringing it all up and saying, do you know what your dad did? I just found out. I don't want to do that. Come on. Let alone. That long war, maybe God bid him. Verse 12, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Please look up here. When reviled, he reviled not back again. He didn't overcome evil with evil that day. He already had Ahithophel and Absalom against him. He didn't need any more. Anyway, he said to Abishai, I know what you want to do, but that's not prudent. It's only going to stir it up more if you go over there and kill that leader of Benjamites. He's already had Absalom and Ahithophel. He's already wounded. He already wants to run. Ziba just took advantage of him and he doesn't even know it. But what he's thinking is, Mephibosheth turned on me. Because he believes Ziba. You still with me or not? Mephibosheth turned on me. How much more this Benjamite, just let him alone. Maybe God will look on me this day and requite me good. We're not going to do anything to him. We're not going to go overcome evil with evil. We're not going to render slander for slander. Now, I got to tell you, humanly right now, some of you are looking at me going, that's not the way to handle it. I didn't say this is the way to handle it all the time. But who's influencing you? Some other pastor with a personality or the Holy Ghost? You can get your pastor, your counsel from another pastor. But if he says this is the only way you should handle that, I don't know if I'd talk to him much anymore. Because there are different ways to handle different situations. And it's not always to be handled with my personality involved. If he says, well, let me suggest this or this. Something. But do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. Because Jesus commands the Holy Ghost. Look up here. And Jesus only does what the Father tells him to do. And the Holy Ghost only tells us what Jesus tells the Holy Ghost to tell us. That's the way the system works. The Godhead, the Father tells Jesus, and the Jesus does only the things that please the Father. Come on, is that right? And then Jesus leaves and sends the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost only says what Jesus tells him to say. So Jesus is still the head. The Holy Ghost is the communicator. Come on, is that right? In the military, I would think of it this way. Jesus captains the ship, but the XO runs it. And the Holy Ghost is running the ships down here. Runs all the churches. Look in your book of Acts real carefully. That's why we do need to be in communion with the Holy Ghost. I'm not lifting the Holy Ghost up above Jesus. It's still all about Jesus. But this praying to the Father is the right thing through the name of Jesus, because Jesus always looks to lift up the Father, and the Father is very pleased with the Son, and the Holy Ghost only wants to lift up Jesus, which is lifting up the Father. And it all fits well. It all fits very well. But we have to be in communion with the Holy Ghost. And we don't want to grieve him, and we definitely don't want to quench him. And we want to find out what he's not pleased with. And on that day, David said, let him alone. Please listen. David was Saul's armor bearer. He loved him. David was his son-in-law. Isn't it a small thing to be the son-in-law to the king? David is protector, Goliath. Saul didn't want to go out. David was chosen by God. Come on, is that right? How many times did David have a chance to get Saul? Twice. One time he cut off his skirt and God smote him. The next time Abishai wanted to kill him? No. No. Wait a minute. The last thing David did with Saul was Saul said, I know you'll be king one day. Make a covenant with me. Swear to me that you'll not cut off my seed after me. To me that you'll not go after my family. He was the family of what? Talk to me. The what? Benjamite. And Shimei was a Benjamite. David had already sworn that he would not go after Saul's family. David couldn't kill him. David was a covenant keeper, except with Bathsheba. Come on. And Uriah. But David couldn't kill Shimei. He had a covenant. But he's cursing him. He had a covenant. But he's accusing me of something. He had a covenant. Sometimes the Holy Ghost says, you got a covenant. You made an agreement. Keep it. But they're not keeping it. Keep it. Keep your covenant. You bloody, bloody man. You man of Belial. The blood of Saul is on you. This is about your mischief. And David had to walk on because he had a covenant with Saul. When David heard that Saul died, he got all his men together and fasted and wept. The guy that brought him the crown and the bracelet, thinking, here, David, here's your crown. David said, kill that guy. Armor bearer. Who? David. Even though anointed, he was still an armor bearer. You killed the one I'm protecting, you're dead. What if God gives you this word? Stay quiet. But it's a Shimei, I know. But look what's behind the scenes. But that woman's bitter at me. Go behind the scenes and look at her hurts. Yes. You've obviously never had anybody bitter at you. You don't think I struggle with this? I'm teaching you principle that I still struggle with. But it's still principle. You guys go on the mission field, somebody will get at you. Some of your supporters will turn on you. Mr. Evangelist, somebody that you thought loved you will say stuff about you. Walk on. Leave it alone. Don't retaliate. Who knows what happened? Try to fix it. Move on. Can we meet, brother? Sure. Well, I don't care what you say, I believe it. Okay. Then don't talk about them to other people. Don't spread it to other churches. Treat it like teenagers. We shouldn't get other churches involved in things that don't pertain to them. Don't Facebook it. Well, I need to defend myself. Why? Why? Go to him? Yes. Look up here. Go to him? Yeah. Yeah. And then maybe God requited them. What do you mean? Why would God do that? To teach us something. To test us, to prove us. To make us more Christ-like. I don't like it either. You say, this is missions. Welcome, Mr. Missionary, to reality. Welcome, Pastor. Welcome, Evangelist. We're dealing with humans and we are one. Please, Lord, don't let me think like a human today. May the Holy Ghost teach me in that hour.
Testing, testing. Testing, one, two, testing.